Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday morning at 7 on 560 KLZ The Source, with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading outdoor experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Good morning and welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado. My name is Scott Whatley. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Happy Mother's Day weekend to all the moms out there. Be sure and get in touch with your mom. Spend some time with her this weekend. It'd be a great thing to do. We have a jam-packed show and a jam-packed studio. We are almost single file around our table today. So for sake of time, say good morning. I got my partner, Red Merrill.
Hey, Scott.
Trevin Stolzfus with Outback Outdoors.
Morning, gents.
Kevin Flesh.
How are you, Scott?
How are you, bud?
Good.
Rod Myers with Summertime Charters, and we'll be talking with Rod here in our second segment. So, guys, thank everyone for coming in. Our number is 303-477-5600. If you want to join in on the show today, we will try to get to calls if we can. But as I mentioned, we've got a jam-packed show. And I tell you, this first guest I am thrilled to have on. We've been trying to do this for several months, but last week I was up in Red Lodge, Montana on a turkey hunt, came back through Cody, Wyoming, and went in the Cody Firearms Museum and met with Ashley Herbinski. And so I asked Ashley if she could come on this morning for a few minutes. So, Ashley, good morning.
Scott.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Well, good. I know I made you get up early. I'm sorry. So, Ashley, tell us a little bit about yourself. And you may hear different voices asking you questions this morning, so there's a bunch of guys in here. But tell us just a little bit about you and then how you got to the Cody Firearm Museum.
Well, I'm the assistant curator of the Cody Firearms Museum now. And I came there about a year ago after working there on and off for about 4 years. But I got into firearms through kind of a circuitous route. I didn't grow up around them. But when I was in college, I wanted to be a doctor, and I went on a tour of Gettysburg, and they were talking about how the advancement of weapons technology altered the way medical technology had to function on the battlefield. And it was honestly something I had never considered before. And so I went back to school, and I switched my major to history, and I started studying military history specifically. And I got an internship at a military history museum in Pittsburgh, where I'm from. And I just got hooked, and so I started doing everything I could to learn about guns, and I ultimately got an internship for the Smithsonian, and then I ended up staying there for several years while I finished my grad degree, and I've been in Cody ever since.
Wow. All the guys are here with their mouth open going, what does some of those words mean she just used? You got five guys here. And I'm telling you, I am so glad it worked out for us to come by and step in the other day. And thank you for taking the time with the friend of mine.
Oh, no worries.
And myself, because it was so cool.
And that you weren't some crazy person just coming up to the security desk.
Exactly. I go to the security desk, and the guy goes, could I have your name? And I go, well, we haven't really met yet, but I'd really like to meet her. And the guy's like, oh, you know. So anyway. All right. Now, how did you get involved with firearms?
Firearms? Well, specifically through an internship that I did in Pittsburgh. And after that internship, well, during that internship, I had to identify a couple hundred firearms from the Civil War through current military conflicts. And that was really my first big foray into firearms. And after that, I took some NRA classes and learned how to shoot and did everything that I actually possibly could to get some practical experience, and then I started studying them in school, and I helped teach a military history course while I was in grad school, and the rest is history.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Ashley, this is Red.
Hi, Red.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm great.
I've actually been to the Cody Firearms Museum 4 or 5 times. Every time we go to Yellowstone, we try to stop into at Cody. And Cody's a beautiful place, and the Firearms Museum is just fantastic. And
thank you.
You know, growing up down in Texas, it was always my love of the old west guns and stuff, and man, it's fantastic to come in there. What do you do on a daily basis there at the museum?
Oh gosh, a daily basis is kind of, it's a grab bag of things that we do, and it can change every single day, especially in the summer. But overall, we do the care and maintenance of the firearms that are in our collection. We do a lot of research of those collections. One of our main collections at the museum is the Winchester Arms Collection, which is comprised of about 4,000 firearms, and we have a total of 7,000 in the collection as a whole. And so we're responsible for researching those guns and getting them on display, and I write a lot of articles about them for gun magazines as well. And we do tours for people who come into the museum, and then we also do educational programs about firearm safety and Western guns. And it honestly depends, because sometimes someone will just bring a gun into the museum and we'll have to take a look at it, and they want to donate it, and so we have to assess it on the spot.
So, Ashley, this is Trevin with Outback Outdoors.
Hi.
Do you hunt?
Do I hunt? Unfortunately, no. I want to.
You're in Cody, Wyoming.
I know. I grew up on the East Coast, and I didn't have much time for hunting between grad school and work in D.C., and so I've come out here, and I'm rather ashamed for the fact that I haven't. But if you guys want to come up and go hunting with me, I'd be more than happy.
Well, I think...
You do have to stay for the rest of the show, Trevin.
I think it's a great opportunity. I mean, there you are, surrounded by some of the most wonderful guns in all of the world, and then you're also in one of the most beautiful places. Wow. On God's green earth, and great hunting right in there.
Oh, yeah. Although I do have to say that I drive about 5 minutes from my apartment about every weekend to go target shooting, so it's not like I'm not getting any practice.
There you go.
Nice. Ashley, so why, people coming through Cody, why should they stop in the museum, and what should they expect to see?
Well, because it's awesome.
Well, obviously. And you're there, so.
Well, yeah, and that's just a double bonus for everybody.
Yeah, well, Ashley, honestly, are you married? I know some guys that would like to meet you.
I am not married.
That's why they were scoping me, because, like, is this guy wacko? Like, you know.
We took care of the stalker last week.
You should come to Cody. Yeah. Honestly, if you love guns from any era, you know, we've got guns from the 1300s through current contemporary market guns. And so we really have something for everyone here. And if you're traveling with people who aren't necessarily gun enthusiasts, we have a collection of Hollywood guns. And then the Cody Firearms Museum is also a part of the Buffalo Bill Center of the West. And that's got, it's a collection of 5 museums. So we also have an art museum, an Indian museum, a Buffalo Bill museum, and a natural history museum. So there's something for everybody.
Yes, Ashley, what's new and exciting going acquisition-wise at the museum?
Well, we just got in a gun that's been getting a lot of press, and that's a Colt Single Action Army with nickel-plated with ivory grips, and it was engraved by master engraver Ben Schossel, and that belonged to John Hart, the actor John Hart. And John Hart was probably most known for playing the Lone Ranger in the in-between period from the original series when Clayton Moore stepped back for 2 years. And so we've had a lot of people real excited about that. It's a beautiful firearm. And we've got it displayed in our Hollywood section with another gun that was used personally by Gary Cooper. It's a shotgun that he used to hunt with Ernest Hemingway.
All right. That sounds real exciting. Scott and I both have single-action armies, and it's just one of the guns that I have loved because, you know, growing up in Texas, you love the Old West, and you feel like, you need to be a gunslinger and carry your gun down low on your hip so you can get it out fast and stuff. They're just a fantastic gun. It's
I can't imagine you being fast at anything, Red.
I'm not real fast at most stuff. My brain, I only have 2 brain cells, and they short out every now and then.
So, Ashley, let's talk about some of the national treasure type of items that you showed us.
Oh, yes. Those national treasures are part of a loan exhibition we have right now that we're very excited about. It's 64 firearms from the Smithsonian Institution. And when I said that I came back and forth between Cody and D.C. for about 4 years, it was working primarily on this loan exhibition. And 4 of the firearms that are featured are considered national treasures, which is a Smithsonian designation. And I always like to point out that R2-D2 is also a Smithsonian National Treasure, so that kind of puts it in perspective. But we've got one of the guns. It's this crazy 15 to 20-pound mother-of-all Swiss Army knives, and that's got 100 blades on it, including a .22-caliber rimfire revolver.
Wow.
You ought to see this thing. It's unbelievable.
Where do you carry that?
You don't. Yeah. That's a great question. What it was, it's actually a display piece for a cutlery merchant in New York City in the 1800s. So basically, they would have put that in the window and been like, look at all the stuff that I can do, come in and buy from me. And one of the other really popular national treasures we have is a 7-foot-long gold inlay Michelet lock, which is just a variation on the flintlock musket, that was given to President Thomas Jefferson in 1805 by the ambassador to the Bay of Tunisia after the Tripolitan Wars.
Wow. So when visitors show up, do they have regular tours then? Do you have regular tours for them, or is it self-guided? How do the inquiries by the visitors, how are those handled?
Well, for the most part, if you come into the museum, it's a self-guided tour. But if you want to have a tour, you can contact my boss, the curator, Warren Newman, or myself, and we're more than happy to give a tour pretty impromptu, as long as we're not, you know, hands deep in some other guns at that time. And then we also do a lot of visitor inquiries, and that's people emailing, calling, showing up, asking about their firearms and certain history components about that. And while we all answer those questions, we have a guy that is just awesome at that, and his name is Dan Brumley, and he just sits there every day and answers people's questions about guns. And another service that we offer is if you have a Winchester Marlin or LC Smith, we have a firearms records office, and we have a lot of the factory letters for that. And for a fee, if you want a factory letter of your firearm or just a serial number search, we also provide that service.
Wow. Ashley, can you hold on for us through one break?
I can.
All right. Ashley Herbinski is our guest with Cody Firearms Museum, and I'm telling you, this would be a great trip for your family here if you're in the Denver area. It doesn't take too long to get up there, and it is well worth the drive, and there's several other museums associated with this, which we'll ask Ashley about momentarily. Let me tell you real quick before our break here about the Reloading Zone. They are having a class on May 17th, ladies only. Don't know how good that is for guys. All right. Ladies only. It's normally $150, but if you mention Sportsman of Colorado, they'll do it for $125. It's going to be 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on May 17th. You got to get in touch with them now. That's the Reloading Zone. And I'm going to give you that number when we come back because I'm up against the break. We'll be right back.
Hi, sportsmen and women of Colorado. This is Steve Pitcock, owner of Hot Shots Automotive, located in Centennial, Colorado. I would like to offer you all a service special for your diesel truck, a complete diesel oil change, tire rotation, and 30-point safety inspection, all for $60. That's right, $60. That's a $125 value. And for you gas drivers, $25. That's a $60 value. Call us today at 303-617-1125. That's 303-617-1125. Or visit us at hotshotsautomotive.com.
Tired of going into a gun shop after hearing an ad only to find they have only a few guns and no ammo? Get into the zone, the Reloading Zone. From handguns to ARs, the Reloading Zone has it all. Need to get your concealed carry permit? Reloading Zone has a few openings this month. Call now, 303-431-GUNS. That's 303-431-4867. Check out their website, thereloadingzone.com. Get into the zone. The Reloading Zone.
For over 30 years, Academy Roofing has been serving Colorado with great customer service. Let me tell you why I am so happy that I chose Academy Roofing. They were efficient, on time, and their cleanup was perfect after my roof was completed. As an A-plus member with the Better Business Bureau, Academy Roofing brings the knowledge and experience you need in a roofing contractor. Call now, 303-360-0708, or visit academyroofinginc.com. At Academy Roofing, your roof is our reputation. Academy Roofing is an official registered company of Haystack. Help.com.
Lynn Lau Chevrolet is family-owned and operated for 37 years, and our commitment to the community is the best selection, highest trading values, and the best financing. How do we do it? Low overhead. And low overhead means low prices. Lynn Lau Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or LynnLauChevy.com.
Have you been involved in an auto accident, slip and fall, or any other personal injury? I'm Kevin Flesh with Flesh Law, and I've been protecting victims' rights for over 17 years. If you want aggressive representation that will get you the money you deserve, then call me at 303-884-1037 or visit my website at fleshlaw.com. That's Flesh, F-L-E-S-C-H. I will give you the personal service you deserve, starting with a free consultation. Call me, 303-884-1037 or visit me at fleshlaw.com.
Wake up with Randy Corcoran Monday morning at 5 on legendary KLZ 560, The Source.
Welcome back to Sportsman Colorado. My name is Scott Whatley, as I mentioned in the opening of the show. Full studio, Red Merrow, Trevin Stolfus with Outback Outdoors, Kevin Flesh, Rod Myers. Reloading zone again, ladies only class. It's $150 normally. It's $125 if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. Call 303-431-4867, 303-431-4867. Again, this is your one-stop shop for all your reloading needs. They've got great firearms. And let me tell you, I was in there yesterday, and they got a bunch of .22 ammo. So you need to get over there. 303-431-4867.
All right, Ashley, I've got one other question for you. You know, when you have guns and, you know, us guys that love to hunt and love guns, we collect them all our lives, and you got to take care of them. How often do you have to clean and maintain the firearms at the museum?
Fortunate that whenever the guns come in, we make sure that we take them apart and make sure there's no damage to the firearm. So they're usually in pretty decent condition once we go through with that. But every couple of months, what we do is we take a museum quality vacuum, and we actually just make sure that we go over the guns to make sure that there's no dust or residue buildup on it. And we do periodically, you know, use hobbies on the guns. But we had a world-class conservator come in and challenge us to just vacuum the firearms and not do any type of lubing up the guns, anything. And we thought they were crazy. And honestly, it has been one of the best ways to maintain the firearms in our collection. But one of the other things that we have to do is we have to put the firearms to bed. And basically, even though we have UV filtration system and the lighting up in the galleries, some UV rays still get through. And so about every year or so, we'll rotate some of the guns off display because the UV rays will cause the pores in the wood to expand. And so what we'll do is we'll take the guns and put them in dark storage for about 6 to 8 months. And by doing that, the pores on that wood will actually go back to what they were, and they can go back on display. So that's pretty much the basics of what we do. If we have something like rust corrosion or damage, and we notice that in the firearms, we actually send that to our metals conservator, and she is spectacular at handling any really invasive damage.
All right. Well, Ashley, again, we want to get you back on. I mean, this is great information, and, you know, it's such a shame to live so close to you and not know about this. And I have to say, Red had mentioned it to me, but I had no idea how cool it was till we walked in the other day. So I want to thank you for getting up early with us. Thank you for joining us. Ashley Herbinski, the number you need to call if you want more information is 307-578-4048, 307-578-4048. And it's the Cody Firearms Museum. So, Ashley, we'll be back in touch, and maybe we'll just bring a bunch of people up there and see you.
All right. Sounds like fun. Thanks,
all right.
Scott.
All right, Ashley. Thank you. All right. Let's go to our good buddy, Rod Myers, here. Talk a little fishing with summertime charters. Rod, how are you, bud?
Doing great. Morning, guys.
So, Kevin, you're all fired up here about this.
I am. Yeah, I had to apologize, though, to Rod. We were talking earlier this week, and we got cut off because of cell service, and then I haven't been back with him. But we were talking about all the things you can do up in Alaska in conjunction with the sort of trips that he puts together, and it's pretty exciting stuff.
No, it actually is. And met Rod at a show, Colorado Springs, I think it was, the first year. SummertimeAlaskaCharters.com is the website. 303-929-6889 is Rod's number. And again, he's local. And it's kind of like our guys with Bushman's Quiver. Hunter Roop is exclusive agent. I love having someone local here that you can talk to. You know, it's great to do things over the internet, but you're like,
yeah.
You spend the money, you go there, you want to know they're going to pick you up and do what they say they'll do. So it's great to have someone that's local that you can meet, talk to. And again, Rod's number, 303-929-6889. He's offering $500 discount on a minimum of a three-day trip, and we're going to get into that a little bit here now. So, Rod, why don't you, first of all, just describe what a typical trip, and like I say, with Kevin, some other people want to expand that, they can, but what does that typical trip look like?
A typical trip usually combines fishing and sightseeing, scenery tours, that kind of thing. We live aboard the boat for the duration of your trip. And if somebody were to take, say, a three-day trip, we would go ahead and pick you up at the airport if you flew into Valdez. We'd run around town for a little bit, and then we'll get on the boat and go ahead and take off. Usually we'll run out, drop off our shrimp pots for the night, go find a nice, calm, secluded bay, anchor up for the night, have a nice dinner. And then we'll get up in the morning, have breakfast. We'll go pull the shrimp pots. Then hopefully we'll have dinner for that night. And then we'll start heading out to the fishing grounds. On the way, there's usually some glaciers we can pull in, take a look at some of the calving glaciers and that sort of stuff. And we'll head out, find the fishing hole, do our fishing for the day. And then that night we'll go find another nice secluded bay. And then we'll just repeat it for the next day and the day after that. It's fantastic.
Now, Rod, what makes this? I'm sorry, there, Kevin. Right. What makes this a good option for families?
First of all, it's the boat is just a beautiful boat. It's comfortable. The youngest person we've ever had on board was a 4-month-old baby, and the oldest person was a 92-year-old gentleman. So, it's comfortable, it's stable, and it's safe.
And tell us a little bit about the boat.
It's a 57-foot motor yacht. We have 3 staterooms. We have 2 baths with showers, living area, full galley kitchen. The it's a full setup. It's just like a house on the water.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. We've seen the pictures of it, and it's a beautiful boat and very luxurious and comfortable.
So talk about Valdez. If people don't know where it is, can you describe where it is in relation to Alaska? Because Alaska's gigantic.
Well, it's not as big as Texas, but...
Oh, I don't know. It's pretty close.
Yeah.
Nothing's as big as Texas.
That's true.
There, right?
That's true.
Alaska's its own country, yeah. Valdez is approximately 120 or 30 miles due east of Anchorage. It's in south central Alaska on the southern coast. And our trips are in saltwater, but Prince William Sound, where we primarily cruise, is a protected area. We've got just a huge area. It's saltwater, but it's all protected, and the waters are usually relatively calm.
So it's sort of like the Inside Passage, if people are aware of that, that sort of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I try to equate it to an area, or this area here. Pick your favorite place in the mountains, you know, a nice pristine lake or something like that. You're up there camping. You wake up in the morning. It's dead calm, and you're the only ones there. That's kind of what it's like up there every day.
Now, let's talk about the fishing and what kind of fish, limits of the daily catch and all that.
The two primary species are halibut and salmon, and specifically the silver salmon. Halibut run, basically the charters run all summer, and the salmon are, the run is strongest from late July in through, mostly through all of August. And halibut limit is 2 per day, and the possession is 2 daily limits. And salmon is 3 per day, except for when we're close to Valdez. There's an area called the terminal harvest area, and that limit goes up to 6 when you're in that area.
Oh, wow. So. Okay, Rod, what is the pricing for, you know, the typical trip, and how does that compare to people coming up and getting a lodge?
Yeah, we're just sort of an alternative to a lodge, but if you look at our pricing, we're in most cases, we're actually cheaper than a typical lodge excursion. Our price for the boat is, and it's all-inclusive, is $3,000 for the first day, $2,500 for each additional day after that. You can book as many days as you want. And with the sportsman's discount of $500, it's $2,500 a day. So if we had a group of, say, 4 people, 4 to 6 people on the boat, and you divide that $2,500 up, you're going to wind up actually cheaper than what you're paying at a lodge.
Well, absolutely, because, you know, if you go up and stay at a lodge, then if you want to get out and fish, and you got to rent a boat again. And so yours is all-inclusive, the place to stay and the fish and everything included.
Right, all-inclusive. And the nice thing about us, as opposed to a lodge, you know, when you're on a typical lodge excursion, you got to get up in the morning, get on the boat, and drive for an hour or two or however long to get out to the fishing grounds. When you're on our boat, you wake up in the morning, you're already out there.
Wow.
And you're ready to go.
Man, Kevin, it's going
to
be cool.
I know. I'm really looking forward to it. Every time I talk to Rod, I'm like, oh, why not this year?
Exactly.
We were booked up this summer, so we're talking about next summer. And you talk about all the fishing and things like that. Talk about some of the wildlife that you see. You know, if a person isn't necessarily into the fishing, they're into the other things that you offer. Describe those sorts of trips and what you just see being out on the boat.
It just depends on from day to day. You're going along, and the next thing you know, you'll see a pod of orcas. You'll see humpback whales,
yeah.
Sea lions, tons of birds. You'll get a lot of people that are interested in bird watching, and we've got a lot of birds up there, a lot of ducks, The sea otters are cute little playful creatures, and they just swim right up to the boat sometimes while you're sitting there, and they're just a hoot to watch.
And then do you do any day sort of excursions on land then during the day, any hiking or anything else to see any of the wildlife in the area relating to that too?
We've got a dinghy that we put off the boat, and you can actually go to shore if you want. The terrain is pretty heavily wooded, and so you're not going to get too far off of the beach. So usually where we'll wind up hiking is just right on the beach.
Got it. But there's a lot to see there too, I would assume. People that want to get off the boat a little bit and walk around, see what's going on.
You can. It just depends on the group. Some people want to get off, some people don't.
Right.
And it's not like when you're on the boat that you're rocking and rolling. It's really stable, nice and smooth and calm. It's just like sitting in your living room.
So the areas that you go, we're talking, I mean, in retrospect to, let's say, a great big ocean liner. This is a smaller boat, so you can go into places. You're generally not around anyone else wherever you anchor and whenever you're doing your excursions. Is that right?
That's true. When we head out, we're looking for a little bit more seclusion. Most of the time, where we're spending the nights in some of these secluded bays and coves, we're the only ones there.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking for.
Rod Myers is our guest, Summertime Charters, summertimealaskacharters.com, 303-929-6889. Again, if you mention Sportsman of Colorado, you'll get a $500 discount on a minimum three-day trip. And, man, this is awesome. We can't wait for Kevin to go. And then we all can't wait maybe to go again. All of us. That'd be great.
We need to get you guys up there.
That's right.
I'm telling you. Well, Rod, thank you very much. And before our break here, Trevin, our next guest is going to be Phil Mendoza with No Limits, but tell us a little bit about No Limits.
No Limits Archery's here in Denver, and they are a phenomenal bow shop. You can go, you check out their advanced line of bows. The accessories are amazing, but even more than that is the fact that you've got the expertise to implement and to put these to use and know how to understand how to shoot them. They've got the Factor, Hoyt's premier 30-inch lightweight hunting bow, the Hoyt Charger. They're not going to break your wallet. They'll get you in, you know, all the way up to the Carbon Spider, which is the high-end bow. You don't want to miss out on their full line of high-end Hoyt accessories, like I said, and everything you need to outfit your bow. Stop in today. Check out the latest deals at No Limits Archery. You won't be disappointed. No Limits Archery, 303-270-0185. That's 303-270-0185 or nolimitsarchery.com.
And we'll be back with Phil Mendoza with No Limits Archery right after this break.
Have you given up on finding the right camper that truly fits you and your family's needs? Well, there's hope. At Phoenix Pop-Up Campers, we have developed the most personalized, toughest, best-performing off-roading campers imaginable. Yes, if you can imagine it, we can build it. At Phoenix Pop-Up, we would welcome the opportunity to earn your trust and deliver you the best service in the industry. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive $1,000 off your new custom camper. Call 303-286-3921. That's 303-286-3921. Or visit our website at phoenixpopup.com.
Early retirement? Changing jobs? Hi, I'm Dot Mecklenburg, president of Dot Mecklenburg, Inc. Section 72T of the IRS code says as long as you take substantially equal payments from your IRA for 5 years or until age 59 and a half, whichever is greater, you will not be penalized 10% for early withdrawal. For a free consultation, call me today at 303-647-1948 or visit me at my website, dotmecklenburg.com.
Dot Mecklenburg Financial Services is an official company of Haystack Help and an A-plus member of the Better Business Bureau. Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Are you tired of not having a place to hunt or fish? Or maybe you just don't know where to even start to find your next outdoor adventure? This is Kevin Flesh for Colorado Outdoor Sports. Since 2001, Colorado Outdoor Sports has been providing outdoor opportunities to sportsmen with the benefits that only private land can offer. Colorado Outdoor Sports offers over 40,000 acres of private land. Kids under 16 hunt does and cows for free on club property. Call now, 303-460-0273. That's 303-460-0273. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 50% off the initiation fee. Call now, 303-460-0273 or visit their website. Call now, 303-460-0273 or visit their website, ColoradoOutdoorsports.com.
Be safe, have fun, and qualify for your Colorado carry permit. Teach your kids how to safely handle a rifle, pistol, or shotgun.
Hi, I'm Tina Francone, and my staff of NRA-certified instructors at Straightforward Shooting have qualified over 1,000 Coloradans for their Colorado carry permit and have taught hundreds of scouts how to shoot. Get your Sportsman of Colorado discount by calling Straightforward Shooting at 720-989-9662. That's 720-989-9662. Or visit my website, straightforwardshooting.com.
The Jason Lewis Show, weeknights from 7 to 10 on KLZ 560, The Source.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Whatley. Again, thank you for joining us today. And again, we want to wish all the moms out there a great Mother's Day weekend. I have my partner, Red Merrill, Kevin Flesch, Trevin Stolfus with Outback Outdoors, Rod Myers, Summertime Charters. Kevin, you're going to have to take a lot of pictures and video.
I know. I've got a lot of filming to do.
Real quick, couple of more notes. May 27th and 28th from 6 to 9:30, Metallic Cartridge Reloading Class. Again, at the Reloading Zone, 303-431-4867. And as I mentioned, this is your one-stop shop for reloading. They got it all out there. Go see Mike. Tell him you heard about him on Sportsman of Colorado, 303-431-4867. And that is May 27th and 28th from 6 to 9:30. And that's the reloading class. And then don't forget the ladies-only class for your basic concealed carry. That is May 17th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. And if you'll call now, you'll save $25 on that class. So it's a total of $125 with your discount if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. And then world-famous Colorado Gun Collector Show, May 17th and 18th at the Denver Mart. It is the best show for vintage antique firearms. If you want more information, I'm going to have you call our buddy Dave Weddle at Frontier Gallery, 303-733-4200, 303-733-4200. But that's May 17th and 18th for the world-famous Colorado Gun Collectors Show. Well, let's go to the phones and talk a little archery. We'll get up Trevin's alley here.
There you go. All now, right. Get away. I mean, I love guns. Don't get me wrong. But let's talk about a little bows here.
Phil Mendoza with No Limits Archery, a new sponsor for our show and the exclusive archery folks that we endorse. So, Phil, how are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Well, first of all, let us say congratulations on the new addition to your family.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Now, was that little boy or girl?
Little boy.
Little boy. And Trevin said... You didn't name it Trevin. He's like...
No, he didn't. I was pretty disappointed.
It was a close second on that one. But,
I love it, yeah. So, Phil, tell us a little bit about you and how you got into owning No Limits.
Well, I've been a bow hunter for a while. I mean, I've hunted all my life. My dad brought us up in the hunting and fishing atmosphere as much as we could, and... I just felt, it was about 5 years ago, I could do a little better job of what was being offered out there. And it's not a knock on the other people out there. There's some great companies in our area, but I just felt that the ambitious person that I am, that I was going to give it a shot. And we did. We dove in. We acquired a very large space to outfit ourselves with the biggest indoor archery range in the state, and we just kind of, like I said, we just dove in. It took us a little while to acquire some of the high name manufacturers like Hoyt and Matthews and some of the other ones, but we've done so, and we've continued to grow over the last 5 years. So it's been something that it's my passion. It's something that I enjoy getting someone set up with properly in the industry, because I know it was important to me when I started out that I had to learn a lot on my own, and mm-hmm. Trevin can tell you the same thing. It's something that there's some very knowledgeable people in our industry, but there's some people in our industry that they'll give you good bits and pieces of information. So what I did is I just took everything I could, and I just talked to as many people that I felt were knowledgeable at that time to help me out to put my business model together and move forward. So. That being said, like I said, we've been in business for 5 years, right here in the metro area, and I'm happy. We're like I said, we're growing and excited about our future.
Yeah, Phil, what sets apart a pro shop like yours from some of the big outlets like Bass Pro Shop and Cabela's and things like that?
So the the biggest difference I would say between your box store and your pro shop is your box store's got a little bit of everything except your really high end product. Your pro line exclusive menu for the products, I would say, like your Hoyt and your Matthews and some of the other ones, they only sell to pro shops mainly because of the knowledge base needed, because of the attention to detail, because of a lot of things that goes into setting someone up properly that I'm not saying, again, I'm not knocking on anybody at the box stores or anything like that. It's just the people in my shop, many of us have had manufacturer training. So many of us have been to different technical schools like the Hoyts and Matthews and Bowtech, some of them PSEs. And you go to these manufacturers and you really learn the way the things are put together. You see the ins and outs of the bow. You see little things to pick up on when you're setting someone up. So it's a little bit additional training, I would say, that many of us have received, life experiences. Some of us are competitive archers. So it's your next step to your pro shop, from getting service and even the setup, because the way I set up a target bow is not the way I'll set up a hunting bow. There's some similarities, but some people that don't shoot competitively don't see what some of the best archers in the world are doing to set up their equipment. And why shouldn't we want to set up some of our hunting bows in the same manner? I mean, we want to be as accurate as we possibly can in our, on our hunting adventures.
And Phil, I think it, just to jump on the back of what you're saying there is archery is, it's a sport of inches. And what you take going to a shop like Phil's versus something else is you, those inches matter. And when you start to stretch your distances, especially, from 20 to 30 to 40, inches become exponentially greater. So it's the small details. And that's where someone like Phil can come in. A bow that's not set up properly for your body type or your draw length, all of that stuff, it all compounds into misses.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that you can miss poorly where you don't even hit near the target, or you could miss poorly where you can't.
Now, why'd you look at red when you talked about missing?
Sorry.
Yeah, you must have hunted with red before.
I do apologize, Red, about that. But don't you agree, Phil, that's the key difference, is that when you get set up properly, you really do stack the odds, at least in your favor, and those minute details become, they don't matter anymore, mm-hmm. because you're set up right.
Absolutely. The biggest thing with me, with helping me, even now, I mean, I learn something every day. You know, that's the biggest thing with us in our shop, is when somebody comes into my shop, if there's something that I haven't seen or one of my guys haven't seen, we're not going to lie to you, you know. I'm just going to take that and say, okay, look, I think I know who I can talk to help us figure this out. And it's usually a series of finding out who's had dealt with that issue before. But you're absolutely right. You know, the more things you can eliminate from your setup, to eliminate, slight movement or imperfections and make yourself more accurate. You know, today's bows, I see more and more things online. People are, shooting targets out to 200 yards or 300 yards and popping balloons, and it's great. People like to see it, with the YouTube and the Facebook stuff. And then you see the some of the generation of bow hunters that are, let's say not the more modern bow hunters, but some of the guys that have done it for years, and they look at that, and some of them get disgusted.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at the equipment now and the technology, and, I recently visited a Hoyt facility, and it's unbelievable the amount of engineering and detail that goes into these setups, and you think about it, well, yeah, I mean, why wouldn't they be able to be accurate that far, It's just because it hasn't been done so much before, now we're learning how to eliminate these flaws and make these setups just that much more accurate.
Yeah, Hoyt Archery, the maker of the bow I shoot, in my opinion, one of the best bows out there, Hoyt Archery. Let me throw a few more of those in there, Hoyt Archery.
Is it Hoyt Archery?
It's Hoyt Archery.
Yeah.
Phil, if a beginner bow hunter or a prospective bow hunter came into your shop, what would be the first thing you'd want to tell them or have them do?
Well, the biggest thing that we try to do is ask them questions. I mean, it's a little brief interview. Are you mainly going to be looking for hunting, target? You know, see what they're looking to get into. If they're not sure, then we take it from there, and we try to put them in a setup that's well-rounded. You know, we're not going to take, you know, Johnny beginner bow hunter at 15 years old and push him into a Hoyt carbon spider, you know. Not that that might not be a great bow for him, but at the same time, if, you know, if he doesn't know what he's got in his hands, we try to educate them as to what they have. We try to put the best piece of equipment in their hands, regardless of price. And for some people, it's that mid-price bow. For some people, it's that higher-end bow. But then from there, we just take it. We get their measurements. We put their we try to pay attention to the shooter, you know, if it's a bigger person, a smaller person. So don't overbow somebody. We don't try to oversell someone. That's where I think that with us, it's more personal. You know, we're here to stay. I can't send somebody out the door with a bow that I'm not completely comfortable selling them because, right. You know, I want them to come back in my shop. Sure. You know, yeah. I'm not here. I'm not a fly-by-night company. I hope to be here. You know, my oldest son now is 4.5. You know, I hope he's behind the counter in 10 or 12 years helping me out, you know?
Sure.
So, and I want these people to know that hey, we're going to listen to what your needs are. We're going to pay attention to what your needs are. And then we're going to try to place you in front of 4 or 5 different bows, let you try them out, let you feel them, and let you decide.
Our guest is Phil Mendoza, No Limits Archery. NoLimitsArchery.com is the website. 303-270-0185 is the number. And, you know, Phil, how important is it to practice as you are going to hunt? Meaning, to stand out there 20, 30, 40 yards from a paper target on flat concrete, you know, and then you're going to be hunting from a tree stand, you know. How do you reenact that?
You know, the functional practice, or, you know, like you said, practicing as close to the situation as you can is very important, and even extending those limits to beyond, because the setups today are capable of so much. So why limit yourself, you know, to practicing at 20 or 30 yards on a paper target? Well, why not go out to one of your local 3D clubs and, you know, walk the course and practice judging a little bit of yardage and shoot these animal targets at different angles and different elevations and different scenarios, you know, because if you're comfortable in a practice setting in a perfect situation, you know, judging an animal target at the 50 or 60 yards, why wouldn't you be able to do it at 30 yards in a hunting situation? You know, it's something that I this morning, actually, while I was listening to the show, I was fletching my hunting arrows for this upcoming season. You know, the tags are going to start coming out, and my setup will be ready here shortly to practice throughout the summer with, you know, as it's going to be with my hunting arrows,
right.
You know, with
right.
my quiver, everything that's going to be on my bow is going to be how I practice. I mean, I shoot tournaments all year, but the my hunting bow is going to have plenty of arrows through it come hunting season.
And that's going to take us right into our next guest, which is the Matthew Ament from the Train to Hunt Challenge. And, of course, I believe you're a veteran of the Train to Hunt Challenge, aren't you, Phil?
Yes.
And that's a great another avenue during the summer that you can use to hone your not only your bow hunting skills, shooting skills, but also your physical skills. And how, in your opinion, Phil, how important is that?
It's tremendously important. I mean, you know, the things that you do in a hunting situation when you're climbing that hill, you see those elk up on the other ridge, and you're really trying to get there, and you've got your pack on, you're elevating your heart rate, and if you don't know how your body performs in those situations at that time, how can you expect to know what's going to happen when you go elk hunting? You know, and that's what the train to hunt format, the competitions, you know, Canton over there is really giving us an avenue to be a little competitive while we do that. There's many people that train year round for hunting. Some people don't. So this is just something that's offering a little bit of a, hey, let's get your blood flowing. Let's have some camaraderie in that setting, and let's get ready for hunting season.
Well, Phil, we appreciate it again. This is Phil Mendoza with No Limits Archery. Phil's going to be a regular guest on the show, NoLimitsArchery.com, 303-270-0185. Again, a full pro shop. They've got classes, leagues. They can do all the service in the world on this. They do local and regional archery events. And then they, I'll tell you what, take a minute and tell us about any upcoming events real quick.
Right now, you know, we've got leagues going, the Dart System League, which is your kind of computerized screen system. That's going on. You just call ahead for a tee time. You can still make up the last 2 weeks. Other than that, our Thursday night workouts in preparation for the Train to Hunt is the other somewhat league that we have going on. We have some upcoming seminars that are going to be hitting in June. So I'll have more details for you on that.
Scott, hey, Phil, what about a Sportsman of Colorado Customer Appreciation Day? We ought to maybe put that in the works, huh, with Sportsmen of Colorado?
I think that would be – I think, Trevin, you're behind, man. That's already in the works.
Well, Red just wrote down he wants to have a Sportsman of Colorado Bluebell Day for Bluebell ice cream. See, that's Red's. That's our workout. Well, Phil, we appreciate it, man. We are so excited to look forward to working with you. And, of course, man, all these relationships that I had individually, I had no idea all you guys were tied into each other, like with Trevin and stuff. So this is going to be a fun deal, and we are certainly looking forward to working with No Limits Archery.
I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm looking forward as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Getting in shape.
Boy, and being confident out there in the field when you actually have to take that shot. That's what they're all about.
Dude, I'm telling you, we were walking in Red Lodge, Montana. And have you ever walked up for a couple of mountains? That's what my pastor told me he did. And I went over there, and there was like two hills about 50 feet, you know. But anyway, where your heart's just pounding in your head, you know what I mean? And because we hadn't done anything.
Yeah.
You know?
And usually, important.
Yeah. And, you know, you get out there and you hear the guys having heart attacks and all the different things because we've been laying on the sofa eating Cheetos.
That's right.
I'm not talking about your
too bed. Long.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, man, you need to get in shape. And so that's what we want to talk about now.
Yeah. We've got with us good buddy Matthew Ament that really is, well, there's only one word to describe this guy. He is a beast. This guy is with Train to Hunt Challenge. And are you with us, Matt?
Yes, sir, I am. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How you doing, bud?
And we want to talk a little bit with Matt about the Train to Hunt Challenge. Now, Train to Hunt, just to give you a little background, is a company that Kent and Claremont started a while back. And basically, it is the opportunity to train as you hunt. So to get yourself physically and mentally prepared to hunt. So it's going to include workouts every day. You become a member, you log on, you look at that, you're going to see a workout for that day that's going to put you into the movements. It's kind of a CrossFit meets hardcore bow hunter. Wouldn't you agree, Matt?
I think you nailed it exactly what we're trying to do with that.
So how does somebody, do you get online and you see a video of what you're supposed to do or an explanation of the types of things to do for that training, or how does that happen?
Yes, every day there is a workout that's placed. Each day is specific, and each day is broken down into three groups as far as your training level. Hmm. If you're an elite athlete or if you're a beginner athlete, each workout is completable by any physical fitness level that you may have. The harder movements, there is videos for the ones that may be new to people, but mostly they're body weight movements or movements that you've probably done or seen throughout your whole entire life, just never thought of incorporating them as far as an outdoor athlete.
Yeah, it's then taking that, getting, challenging yourself physically, even get that heart rate up, and then you go out and shoot. There's something about when you have to make a move to get in front of an elk herd. They never seem to be on flat ground. I don't know about you guys, but or downhill. It always seems that you have to go up and around a ridge. Right. Your heart rate rises, and then you only have maybe 5 seconds or even less than that to make the shot. So you need to be at a level of fitness where you can maximize that, because that might be your one opportunity. And so that's what these do, at least when I look at them, that's what I see we're working for.
I definitely agree. And I think what we've tried to strive for at Train to Hunt is giving people sport-specific training as an outdoorsman or as a hunter. there's really nothing out there that specifically gives someone that goes out with a 20 to 80 pound backpack and hikes through the mountains or through the forest an outlet or a motivation to get in shape or to stay in shape. We wait all year for that one coveted tag, but if you have something like our Train to Hunt Challenge 6 months after that last tag punch to keep you motivated throughout the year to stay in shape and be a part of a great brotherhood that is there to encourage everybody, it gives you that outlet to keep pushing. And I think you nailed it perfectly, what we really have an overall importance of what we're trying to do. We want to get you in shape that you could hunt that last day as hard as you hunted that first
right.
day with that adrenaline's
right.
pumping, your body's going.
Right.
But in all realism, when you climb that mountain, you push that bull half a mile, can you now make an ethical shot?
Right.
Can
right.
you seal the deal, put the animal down, and provide for your family because you trained for this?
Right.
You know how your body reacts with a high heart rate. You know how to shoot with a high heart rate. Now, let's be an ethical outdoorsman, a clean hunter, and let's make a good, clean kill on this animal and make it full circle. I mean, that's what we're out there to do. We just don't want to push all day, every day.
I think the neat thing about this is if you've been in any type of an athlete, you know that if you prepare your body, your mind will follow. And in just as in any athletic, whether it's golf or whatever, it's all in your head. There's so many mind games. So if you prepare your body, your mind will follow. Well, let's take it to the next level then. Matt, now we have the opportunity to have some fun with this and the Train to Hunt Challenges. Tell me a little bit about the Train to Hunt Challenge. You just finished one in Phoenix. You were in the team division with good buddy Zach Griffin of mine. And you guys, you wiped the... You did pretty good, as I recall from the results.
Yeah, we had a good showing. We had a couple things that we need to tighten up for the national championship there in Colorado. But one thing that is people don't understand is the brothership and the fellowship that you get when you come to these events. Let's be real. There's two types of people that come to these events. There's that 5 to 10% that come out to compete that are shooting for the podium. And then there's a 90%, just like in 3D shoots, that come out just to complete. You want to see how well you're doing. You want to test yourself against other guys. But you're not out there, you know, trying to redline on every single event. The Train to Hunt Challenge really is that. It is a fun atmosphere. It's family and kid-friendly. And we're out there just to help each other strive and help each other reach each other's goals, no matter how high it's set or how low it's set.
Now, what events... will be included in that? In part B of the question, and we'll come back to it, but how do you take different people at different levels? I mean, you take me, I'm a massive physical specimen, and then you've got Red. So what do we do?
Where's my crutches?
Tell us about the events, and then we'll come back to that question of how do you take people at all the different levels that they will be at when they come there?
Very good. Three events overall for the two-day competition. The first one is simple, and it's the funnest. It's just a 3D shoot. There's 19 targets, but there's 20 arrows released. And it's a fun 3D shoot. It's not the simple stand and shoot. That's it. Every target, besides two of them, is a active hunting scenario target. Kneel down, take a shot. Seated, take a shot. You're going to kneel down, stand up, move right, take a shot. There's a animal behind a bush. You're going to have to draw, move, keep moving until you see an open opportunity, then take the shot. There's a target where you have to release two arrows within 15 seconds. For the scenario, you have the big bull in front of you. You don't calm down. You take a shot, you fly his back. He didn't see it. He knows something's up, but he gives you that 15 seconds to reload and take another shot. So each target is a very active and realist hunting opportunity that you may encounter in the field. So it's a very, very fun 3D shoot. You're paired off with 3 to 5 people, depending on how many people are at your challenge. And you get a chance to, you know, shake hands, find out people that are, what they're there for, where they come from, and, you know, build that brotherhood. That's on Saturday. Followed up with that is the meat pack event, which realistically is a winning event, right? You've downed your animal. You're a mile, half mile back in the bush. You've got that bull elk down. It's about to get dark. You need to get this animal off the mountain into your truck in a timely manner. So we have, for individuals, 200 pounds, and for team, it's 300. So you split it up,
any way you can. 3, 2, 1, go. You got to pack your frame pack and get that animal off the mountain or to the finish line. As simple as it sounds, but it is grueling. I will tell you from competing in it, it is one that you forget how much weight a hind quarter to weigh until you put it on your back and trek through the mountain about a half a mile.
Yeah, Trevin, do they have a category for road hunters, you know, like myself?
Where you have a wheelbarrow?
Yeah, where you practice turning the ignition on.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I have guys like Matt. I have guys like Matt that are friends, and hopefully your cell phone works. Right. So when you get that animal down, you call Matt to help pack it out.
See, Red Train to Hunt Challenge would be practicing shooting out the window at 30 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, and 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's the exciting part of hunting.
Yeah.
So, Matt, give us some contact information. How do people get a hold of you for more information?
Well, the easiest thing, obviously, is go straight to the Train to Hunt website. We have everything dialed in very, very specific for each event, Saturday and Sunday.
And that's just traintohunt.com?
Exactly.
Okay.
As simple as this, traintohunt.com.
Okay.
Of course, we're on all social media outlets as far as Facebook, same thing, traintohunt.com. Instagram, traintohunt.com. It's very, very user-friendly.
You know, the last thing that you do after the meat packing plan and you get all the ice off your knees is you got to compete in the actual, what do they call that? That would be the CrossFit section, I guess, right?
Yes, the challenge course.
The challenge
Sunday,
course.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that right there is realistically the mark of an all-day event. It's a mile and a half. There's 6 physical challenges along the course. And basically what the competitors do, you have a 20-pound pack and your bow with you the entire day. 3, 2, 1, go. You start with the physical event. You run, and then you shoot an ethical 3D shot. Depending how you shoot, depending if you get rewarded or if you get punished. If you make a clean ethical kill shot, you get time taken off your score. If you miss the target, you have to do another physical challenge right there on the spot with your pack on. And you continue this routine all the way through a mile-and-a-half course and 6 targets.
Wow.
All the physical challenges are doable.
Right.
But they will test your physical ability to the max. They're all full-body movements, and they all resemble something that may happen in the field. People ask you, what is a burpee? Well, when was the last time that you slipped down a hill and landed face first and had to get back up? Well, there's a burpee.
Matt, we're up against the clock, man, but we appreciate it. That's Matthew Ament. Go to traintohunt.com. Let's get involved on this. Wow, thank all of our guests. Ashley Herbinski, Cody Firearm Museum, Summertime Charters, Rod Myers. Thanks, Rod. Phil Mendoza, No Limits Archery, Trevin Stolfus, Outback Outdoors, Kevin Flesh with Flesh Law. For my partner, Red Merrill, my name is Scott Watley. Thanks for joining us today again. Happy Mother's Day weekend. Stay tuned at 10 o'clock from 10 to 1 for our good friends at Drive Radio. John Rush, you got any car questions? These guys are the best. That's Drive Radio from 10 to 1. Check out our website, sportsmancolorado.com. Everyone have a great weekend, and thanks for joining us.